All right. A couple of weeks ago, we put out a copy of the notes to take home and work on. We're going to be working off of those notes tonight. If for some reason you've lost your copy, there's a few extra copies, and there's also a new copy of the next week's notes. So if you want to grab those, you're welcome to grab those, and we'll try to leave those out for everybody to get it. So we'll rehearse all of that in a minute once everybody gets settled with the notes. But if you want a copy of the new notes for the next time, they're on the back table. And there's also a few extra copies of tonight's notes, which is the Study of Grace Lesson 1, and then the new sheet is Lesson 2. So if you've got Lesson 1, you're good. First Sunday night of the month, so it'll be April 1st. Yep. For real, that's not April Fool's either, so yeah. I won't kid about that. So there's two sheets of paper on the back. One is Lesson 1, the second is Lesson 2. We're working on Lesson 1 tonight. Now, you've got a little extra time for lesson number two, because next week is it men's devotional next week or the week after that? I think, let's see, today's is a week after that. Okay, so we'll have the 28th will be next week. Yeah, we have the 28th. The week after that. Okay, you can. I was going to have a prayer for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. And then I'll lead a prayer for it.
Some of you may have noticed as you came in, police activity around the back of the building, and we didn't say anything earlier, but we online now? Okay. Some of you may have noticed some of the police activity around the back of the building here as we came in. As we drove in around the building tonight, there was a pickup truck parked there on the corner, and it's sitting there, tail lights are on and brake lights on and engine running and things, and a young man sitting in the front seat. And when I went over there to check on him, bottom line is apparently committed suicide and shot himself there. So that's what's going on. Nobody we know of. But the police came in and taking care of that. And Keith Herron was here, and Keith took care of it from the standpoint of calling the police and letting them know. So that's what's going on. That's all the activity in Davidson. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it might be very wise, and I think good if we have a prayer for that. Father, it's very sad when anyone, apparently this young man, comes to a point in their life when they think the only way to deal with their problems is by taking their life. Father, we don't know this man's situation, but it's sad. And we pray for whatever family is going to find out tonight that they've lost someone this way. We're thankful for Keith being here, and for the police who are working outside, and for the tremendous things they do to take care of situations like this. It's awfully hard on them, and we pray for Keith and the officers outside. But especially now, we pray for this young man's family. They have to deal with a tremendous burden for his loss of life and the way he took it. And it just makes us so sad. And Father, we pray that this situation would provoke us and stimulate us to get the message out to all of our neighbors, our friends, everyone in this community, that there's hope in hopeless situations, there really are answers, and that answer is you. We find it so sad, again, that anybody would find this to be the answer to any kind of a problem, because there is an answer in life. We love you, Father, and we're thankful that we're here and we're safe. And we're, again, our hearts are just troubled over the situation, and we know that you are the answer, and we're thankful for that. We love you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the hope he gives us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Also, would make you aware, I failed to mention that earlier, you do know by now there were some really, really bad storms a couple nights ago in Alabama. And one of the congregations that does so much for the Brotherhood, the Jacksonville congregation that oversees the publication of House to House, Heart to Heart, which we did, they are also the overseers of the Polishing the Pulpit program, the marriage retreat that takes place, I think it's in February, January of each year up in Gatlinburg, Sevierville area, Spark, a number of other things that they're involved in. They received the brunt of that storm and that tornado that was in that area. Their building received some damage. It will be okay. Their student center was probably the one least affected with it, which is great, because Alan Webster, the preacher there, his wife and his kids were in that building when the tornado hit, and it just happened to be the building with the least amount of damage there in the basement of that building. There was a facility on site that was a little severely, more severely damaged than the others, but the offices where the Polishing the Pulpit headquarters, the House to House, Heart to Heart, all of that, it was totally wiped out. I've seen some pictures of it. There's nothing. There's no walls. There's no roof. They lost everything. Alan even lost his office, was in that building. He lost everything, including his preacher's library. His office is gone. And I know from that standpoint, it takes years to build your preacher's library. And my heart was broken when I heard that news. So they have suggested for now. They've got insurance. They want to be able to find out what that's going to do for them in the first place, because the elders of that congregation don't want to be burdened and ask for money before they know anything. So they're going to try to settle up with the insurance company first. And then if there's a need, then the elders of the Jacksonville congregation will be asking for help. I have no doubt that would be met instantaneously if that was ever the case. But the greatest thing we can do for them is to pray for them, because tonight they're without, at least currently, without an auditorium, without a place to meet until that gets repaired, because the roof is pretty severely damaged on that. So, yes, Steve?
I think you did read, though, they
thought
like all the records were...
Yes, all of the records were... they use iCloud, so all of the records were stored digitally. So even though the physical location, the physical file cabinets and all of that were destroyed in the offices, there's no data lost. In fact, he said today, Alan had said today that the staff was at home working on their own personal computers, publishing the next House to House, Heart to Heart, to get that out, because it goes into millions and millions of homes each month, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So we just want to pray that they do a tremendous work for the Lord's body. And the plans are nothing's going to be affected. They're still on for PTP. So it's a great, great thing. But we want to pray for them, that's for sure. So when you go home and you pray, pray for the brethren in Jacksonville, Alabama, that are struggling with that. Continue to pray for the situation outside, just a really tragic situation. Okay, so last week we put out a piece of paper and we said, we'll cover the questions on this week. So that's what we're hoping to do, is each week we've got some take-home work. We've got some questions to answer. Gives you a little time to go through, read the scriptures, think about it, think about what's going on, and then maybe that can provoke some great discussion in class. And that's what we're hoping for. So you've got less than two notes on the back table. We'll be covering those next week. So we'll take a look at that next week. All right, so we have our notes for... tonight, this is lesson number one, and if you weren't here and didn't get a copy of the notes, that's okay. We'll take time and go through. So let's begin with this. Here, our study is of grace. We're going to spend a few weeks on grace. We're going to study that hopefully very in depth. And once we're done, and we're not going to rush through it with grace, then we'll be entering into a study of the apostles and what they were about, what we know about each of those. So let's talk about grace for a few weeks. Last week we introduced the subject. We figured out the difference between grace and mercy, figured out what the grace of God was, and we talked about that from a biblical perspective. So here's the first real endeavor in our study. Question number one. Why do you think it's important for us to understand sin and the consequences of sin in relation to grace? Why is that important? Why is this almost a necessary part of our study? Why do you think that is? Any thoughts on that? Okay. Okay, so we have the record of sin's entrance into the world, and it wasn't like a small matter. Man was separated from God. Why is it important? Somebody says, why study sin in relation to the grace of God? Why study that? Why is it important? Okay, understand how great it is, Art? Right. Go ahead, Bobby. Okay, so grace is related to sin in the sense it's taking it out of the way, so obviously we want to understand that, Art. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been... well, let me illustrate it this way. I was going to go a different route, but I think this works. Have you ever been on a cave tour before? And you go down in the depths of a cave. They take you like a mile under, you know. You go down and you go back and you're they go back there and then they shut the lights off. How dark is it? You can feel it. I mean, it's so you shut the light off and then you've got, you know, people hyperventilating in the back and they just can't handle it. And they'll leave it off for a while and people get panicky. And when they flick the lights on, what do people do? You know, it's such a relief. And you don't appreciate the light until you really experience how dark is. And in a similar way, that's kind of what we have going on here. We appreciate the grace of God. We love it and we talk about it. But until we really understand how bad sin is and how bad the consequences of sin are, I think what it does, it shines light on grace. It really shows us how marvelous grace is. Because when we understand the enormity of sin, we get the chance to see how much more magnanimous the grace of God is when we contrast the two of those. So I think it's really important for us, anytime we study grace, to think about sin and the consequences of sin, how bad sin is, in contrast, to really get a sense of how wonderful grace is, the magnitude of grace, to see what it does. Like Art was saying, you know, it's the thing that counteracts the sin and takes the sin out of the way, and there's nothing we can do to earn or deserve that, and so it just helps us to appreciate it that much more. Now, we're going to end on the same question, and we've got a scripture to go along with it, and it should help us when we get to the end. So let's go to number two. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. So we had some scriptures to look up. If you didn't get a chance to look them up, it's okay. They're all listed here. We'll take some time and go through them. We're not in a rush. We want to do our very best to understand everything the Bible has to say about this. Romans 6. Would someone read verse 23? Okay, often quoted, great verse. Now let's put ourselves in the context of this discussion on grace. Here's question number two. What's this verse teach us? What are we learning here? Okay, no eternal life without God. What else? Any other lessons we're learning from this passage? Yeah, sin brings a consequence, and maybe going back to what Art said at the very beginning about deserving and earning. I mean, genuinely, while we can never earn grace and we don't deserve grace, is there anything that we do deserve? What do we deserve? We deserve to die. I mean, that's what's mentioned in the Bible, is the fact that through sin, because of sin, we deserve to die. Art? Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Did I see your hand up, Bobby? That's exactly right. Yeah. James 1:17, all good and perfect gifts, Philip.
In Romans 5th chapter, it's all about Christ dying.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. We're going to take an entire lesson. I think that's a big challenge theologically, you know, in discussions today. Some misconception where people say, it's just grace alone. There's nothing you can do. It's true in the sense of you can't earn it, you can't deserve it. But that doesn't take away the need for obedience, and I think you're exactly right. There's two sides to that, and I think we're gonna hopefully get to that next week. So obviously, what we deserve, what we have earned because of sin, is death. That's what it is. Now, some of the misconceptions about grace that we're going to talk about next week come from not knowing or not understanding to whom this all applies. When he says in verse 23, the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, when he said the wages of sin is death, who does that apply to? Who's he talking about? Is he talking about our babies? Okay, people that are accountable. So we're talking about the grace of God counteracting, being able to do something for people that they don't deserve, the people that are accountable of a stage of life where they can do this, do this called sin. So let's get specific about sin for just a moment. So that brings us to question number three. Now, we've got a number of verses under question number three, all related in some way to sin and the effects of sin, because what we really want to do is paint a picture of sin where none of us walk out tonight and say, yeah, sin's pretty bad. It's not just pretty bad, it's terrible. And here are the consequences of sin. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. All right, would someone read verse 4 for us, please? Okay, so we had this verse, and whoever commits sin is guilty of breaking the law, sins of breaking of the law. The New King James actually uses the term lawlessness, but if you take lawlessness and you put it with the definition from the King James, what is lawlessness? What is it? It's breaking the law. It's no respect for the law. It's a breaking of the law. And so if someone says, well, what is sin? Now, I've read entire books where people try to define sin, but you can't get any better than the Bible definition of it. The Bible definition is sin is the breaking of the law. Now, what's that teach us about sin? Are there any lessons here? Oh, okay. So there's a separation from God involved in it. We're gonna go back and see that in Genesis. I think that's what Dad was talking about earlier. Is what's taking place here, is this a willful action? Is it a choice, or is it something that man can't help? It's a choice, okay? Sin is a breaking of the law, and that's a choice people make. People choose to do the wrong thing. And when they do that, Romans 6:23, what's deserved at that point? Death. It deserved to die because of the willful choice to go against the will of God. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 2. So let's start in verse 17. Now, here, verse 16, the Lord commands the man. Verse 16, he says, of every tree of the garden you can eat. So he gives him permission to do that. And then says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper, compatible him. So we have the woman. And now, chapter 3, we have man and woman. Chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman sees the tree good for food, it's pleasant to the eyes, it's desirable to make one wise. She takes the fruit, she eats, she gives to her husband, Adam, and he eats. And so they're in real trouble here. There's a good example in this. Not only, you know, I think Dad was saying just a moment ago, that's the first time it enters the world, but it's a great example. God said, "You can eat of all the trees except one." Now, there's the will of God being expressed. And God said that if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. And remember, the wages of sin is death. Now, the question is going to be in just a moment whether or not we see the grace of God involved in this picture. And I think we can all agree we're about to see it in Genesis. So, sin is going against the will of God. It's a choice that people make to do that. Now, there's some real consequences that come as a result of this, because what Susie was saying. Let's look at Isaiah 59, since we're in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. He's talking to collectively the people of Israel, but there's a principle here. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities," what did their iniquities do? They separated between you and your God. "Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So whatever the wonderful privileges of that relationship used to be, those privileges of that relationship are now gone because you've devoted yourself to sin. So sin separates between God and man. Now, we skipped a couple of scriptures there, but we really kind of already answered them. The letter B there in Ezekiel 18:20, it's the soul that sins. Only the person who commits the sin is the one deserving of the death. It means, again, it's by choice that we do this. And in Romans 6:16, we didn't look at that one. But if you went ahead and looked that up on your own, what's the result of sin according to Romans 6 and verse 16? Yeah, death, and we become the servants of sin by doing that. In other words, devotion to sin. Let's look at one more, Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. This goes back to what Romans 5 is what Philip was talking about a moment ago. Romans 5. And then hopefully we're going to start asking, now, what does that tell us about the grace of God? What do we learn from this? Romans 5. Verse 10, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved through His life." What are we called there prior to our salvation? Enemies. What's that mean? Opposition? Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, I won't. Yeah, great point. I mean, yeah, and I think Travis is exactly right. It's not that he doesn't know we exist or can't hear us. But we've estranged ourselves from God. We have cut ourselves off from Him. We've become against Him, against His purposes in doing that. This is serious. This language in the Bible shows us that, I mean, how bad is it to be lost? It's really, really bad. There's no connection to God. We're cut off from God. We have no access to the privileges of God. And so if we're going to start talking about the grace of God, it's important for us to look at how bad being lost really is and then say, but He saved us from that. He took us out of that so that I'm not an enemy anymore and I'm not separated from Him anymore and I'm not a servant of sin anymore. If I can see it in contrast to that, it shows us what He's done for us is far better than we ever deserve to be treated. Now, with that said, sometimes the question comes in, this question number four, about the love of God. What do sometimes people say about the love of God? About punishment of sin? How do sometimes people frame the love of God? Oh, yeah, okay, everybody's saying it. God is so loving, and He is loving, no question, but they say He's so loving He's so loving, he would never punish anybody. So to talk about punishment, that's not necessary. And really, that does a disservice in so many ways. But for one, it dilutes what we're talking about now. People can never appreciate the grace of God if we don't understand that there's real horror involved in doing the wrong thing. But again, people take that, you know, God is love, and they take it to mean that somehow he excuses all wrongdoing and everybody's on the right page, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember hearing and reading some of those things that were coming out some years ago, and I thought at first when someone said, hey, somebody's teaching that now, I thought, well, they're just joking, but they really do believe that now, that's the case, and it's a horrible thing because that's to misunderstand the love of God. And hopefully, you know, we can do some clarification on that next week. Tom? I don't know. Well, it's an awful convenient thing to believe. It usually, interestingly, it's almost always the case, of especially preachers who start advocating for that, that it's usually with the goal of justifying some family member that's doing the wrong thing, and they want to try to believe that God wouldn't really punish their son or daughter. It's almost always the same thing that happens in a marital situation. A position changes to sort of justify something. So I don't know. I don't know if they really believe it or not. But it's either way, it's false. To teach that. So here, let's move into the sort of the last segment of our questioning. Number five: do you think that God has been fair in regards to our punishment? Think he's been more than fair? Okay, I think in just some of the passages that we've read, it's very clear that he's been more than fair. And if you read ahead, because we're running out of time quickly, Psalm 99 verse 9. If you read that, what's the attribute of God that's talked about there? Yeah, he's separate. He's holy. He's apart from man, in the sense that he's holy. God and sin are like oil and water. They do not mix. You can't mix them. They just separate. That's God and sin are like that. They just, and maybe you can think of some other illustrations that sort of, you know, they're inherently separate like that. But that's the way that it is. They don't go together. And maybe next week we'll throw in an illustration or two more just to try to get us back in the frame of mind. But God doesn't mix with sin, and so he can't abide with unholiness. That's why there's punishment involved in wrongdoing. And for him to be able to take away the penalty of sin, the death, and the horrors of hell and all of that, we're not going to have time to get to the hell part tonight. It just shows us what a wonderful God it is that we serve, that he would be so willing, even after we've spit in his face by doing the wrong thing and we're his enemies, that he would forgive us so that we don't have to bear that. It just shows us how wonderful grace is, that he's doing something for us that we don't deserve. Really, we're out of time, so I don't want to rush. I don't want us to skip stuff. So let's put a peg in it here. Any thoughts before we leave tonight on what we've covered? Okay. I don't know if they're done with the crime scene out here. I don't know. I think, and you do what you will, but I think it would be wise for us to avoid the corner of the building if they're still back there. Keith's not in, so I assume they're still out there working. Are they done? Yeah, they're still out there. So I know there's some local police. Keith Heron's out there, and so let them have their space. I'm sure they're conducting an investigation out there, but it would be probably wise for us not to drive behind because there are police cars out there, so let's try to drive a different way out, and let's don't try to go back there. I don't know if they've got it roped off or not. But at the very least, let's be praying for that situation. It's certainly a sad, sad situation. Thanks for your great input tonight. And if you'll go ahead and work on the rest of the questions for lesson one, we'll answer those. And then we'll also get into chapter 2 next time, or lesson number 2 when we come back. Thank you very much for your great attention tonight.